copy of God's Word and open to Psalm 120 will be our passage this morning. If you're using a pew Bible, that can be found on page 516. Before we read this text, I just want to kind of let us know what we're going to be doing over the next few months. Over the next few months, we'll be studying a special group of psalms, and these psalms are called the Psalms of Ascent. Psalms of Ascent. There are 15 of them, and so we'll see them throughout the next couple of months. They begin right here at Psalm 120. And they go all the way through Psalm 134. And so if you look in your Bibles right now, right above the psalm there, it says a song of ascent. And so the word ascent is a word that means steps, or it means to go up, going up. And one of the reasons that they are called Psalms of Ascent is because these are the psalms that they were sung by the Jews as they were traveling to Jerusalem for the three main festivals or annual feast. And there were three feasts were held in Jerusalem each year: the Feast of Passover in the spring, the Feast of Pentecost in the summer, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, and which was took place at the harvest time in the fall. And so Jesus would actually sing these songs with his family as they made their way up to Jerusalem each year for the Passover. And so Jerusalem was about 2,500 feet above sea level, and so no matter what direction you're coming approaching Jerusalem, you are always going up. And so you'll notice throughout Scripture, they're always saying they're going up to Jerusalem. That's not meaning they're going north or anything like that. It just means they're going in higher elevation. And so they called these Psalms of Ascent because they were sung by the people as they literally were going up to Jerusalem. But they are also called Psalms of Ascent because the Psalms themselves have an upward motion. And we'll see this as we go, but here, even in this song, they begin with the believer crying out to God in trouble, crying out to God in trouble as they're far away from Jerusalem. And so the psalms end with believers offering up praise to God as they have reached their destination. They have reached the temple courts. And so the Psalms of Ascent were sort of the playlist of songs for the Jews' journey. They were short, they were easy to memorize, they were meant to be sung in praise and worship to God. Jerusalem in the Bible represents the presence of God, the city of God, the place of His temple, the place where He chose to dwell and to meet with His people. And so this obviously points to the fact that these psalms still have meaning for us today. They mean have a great meaning for us as well. Because as Christians, we are on a spiritual journey. Not a literal journey to going to Jerusalem, but a spiritual journey, a pilgrimage of the heart, if you will. And so this is what we were made for. We were made to meet with God and to know the magnificence of His presence. And so as we work our way through these psalms and all that they teach us about their relationship with God, you will see that the Psalms of Ascent really serve as stepping stones along the way. They are stepping stones to God's heart. And so we don't need to just study them or fly through them quickly. We want to learn them, and we want to pray them back to God as He intended. And the Psalm 120 is the first of these psalms, and it is the psalm about praying in times of trouble. And so let's see what this psalm says together as we get started on, on these wonderful this wonderful group of psalms. So if you are able this morning, I invite you to stand with me as we read Psalm 120. Hear the word of the Lord. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows, with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me, that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Would you be seated as we pray this morning? Father, we do thank you for this word of Scripture. We thank you that holy men wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so illuminate these words now by your Spirit. Teach us. Grant that our hearts might be drawn towards yourself. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So like I said, this psalm, the very first psalm, is a psalm of trouble. The psalmist is far away from Jerusalem. He is distant from God in a faraway land. And you might kind of wonder, although we revealed this a little bit, but you might wonder, why didn't they just arrange it in a different way? Why wouldn't they start these psalms, this group of psalms, with a happy song? You know, you're beginning a journey. You don't want to be down and out. You don't sing the blues when you get ready for a road trip. You want something happy, something peppy to get you going. Why would they start their journey with singing a song about trouble? Nobody likes trouble. But God can use trouble to draw you closer to Him. In fact, the starting point for our journey to God is always, if you think about it, it is always discontent with this world and what it has to offer. As Christians, we don't belong here. Our home is another place. And although we enjoy the good gifts that God gives us here in this life, we can never be fully comfortable living in a world that is opposed to God and God's ways. And so Psalm 120 starts our journey by teaching us about how we should respond to God in times of trouble. And so first of all, we learn that we should call on the Lord in times of trouble. Look at verses 1 through 2, where it says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongue." From a deceitful tongue. And so the Psalms of Ascent, they begin with a call to prayer. And really, that seems appropriate. They are in times of trouble. They are distant from God. It seems appropriate to pray. There is no other way to meet with God apart from prayer. And so if you are going to make this life journey with God, if you are going to live your life with God, prayer will need to be front and center. And not just prayer when we have good times, when we rejoice in the good times, but Psalm 120 especially focuses on prayer during the bad times. And so, what do you do when you are in trouble? Do you worry? Do you complain? Do you take it out on others? If we were to write as the psalmist wrote, would we, instead of crying out to the Lord, would we say, in my distress, I complained? In my distress, I got angry? In my distress, I panicked? Well, here, in my distress, the psalmist says, I bring this to the Lord. When in trouble, I pray. And the reason for this is simple, yet complex. Not really complex, but it's simple, and at the same time, it's extraordinary. Notice how he says that God hears you when you pray. That's what the psalmist says in verse 1. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. This is amazing, church. This is wonderful news. When you pray, the God who created all things, the God that transcends all things, that is bigger than the universe, hears you. He pays attention to you. We should never take that for granted. The fact that God hears you when you pray. Now, everyone cries out when they are in trouble. But what matters is, to whom do you cry out? And the psalmist cries out to the Lord, and the Lord answers him. Now, the word translated here, distress, and in the first verse, is a word that means, it means trouble, it means misery. But it means anguish and trouble being closed in on you. Trouble is closing in all around you. And so you are in great anguish because you do not see a way out of this trouble. And apart from God, there may be no way out. But that's where prayer comes in. James 5:13 tells us plainly, if anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. But what James tells us in chapter 5, what he tells us by way of instruction, Psalm 120 is telling us by way of testimony. The psalmist is saying that I am calling out. When I am in distress, I call on the Lord and he answers me. So God hears us when we pray. And therefore, when you are in trouble, when you are in anguish, when you are in misery, when you are going through the trials in your life, you should cry out to the Lord to save you. Which is exactly what the psalmist does in verse 2. He says, deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. And so the psalmist begins by stating a general fact. He says he calls on the Lord when times of trouble, and the Lord answers him. And then he asks God to deliver him from specific troubles that he is facing, which in this case is lying lips and deceitful tongues. And so the psalmist is surrounded by liars. And he calls for God to deliver him. And so, church, if you are here this morning, I ask you, have you ever been lied to? Have you ever been lied about? It hurts. It's painful. And notice how no one ever tells good lies about you, do they? Think about this. If you're just a mean person, you're kind of a jerk, you don't have a good personality, you treat everybody horrible, you never find anybody going around telling people, oh, well, he's a good guy. Or she's a sweetheart, right? They don't spread things that say lies that are going to build you up and make you look good. No, they say things to hurt you. They lie about you. It's meant to bring you down, to drag you down. Deceitful tongues. Deceitful here is in verse 2 is a word that means treacherous lips. It's deceptive talk. And it's related to a word that means to shoot an arrow. And so these are nasty, cutting, wounding lies that damage your reputation and pierce like sharp arrows. deceit implies intent. And so they are lies not just told by an innocent mistake, but they are meant to hurt you. And the Psalms of Ascent are all about going to meet God, to worship Him in the beauty of His presence. And these deceitful lies are the exact opposite of the atmosphere of truthful worship that God calls us and that calls us to, and the psalmist here desires. And so that's our first application from the psalm. Call on the Lord in times of trouble. God hears you when you pray, and so cry out to Him to save you from these troubles. And the second application is this: know that God will judge the wicked. Look at verses 3 and 4 as we read. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows and glowing coals of the broom tree. And so these verses tell us several things about God's final judgment. First of all, God's judgment is appropriate and just. God's punishments are never too light. They are never too harsh. They are always suitable for the offense. They are perfectly just. We read in Jeremiah 9:8, their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceitfully. James 3:6 says the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. And so we see the tongue in Scripture, throughout Scripture, as compared negatively to both arrows and fire. And according to Psalm 120, what is punishment for the deceitful tongue? Arrows and fire. A warrior's sharp arrows and the burning coals of the broom tree. And so the tongue that is deceitful and that causes hurt on others will be hurt itself. Remember how I said earlier that the word deceit is related to the word shooting an arrow? Well, that's what a deceitful tongue gets in return. It is light a shooting arrow that pierces you, that hurts you, that brings you down, but it will receive the same punishment. It will be hurt in the same way. Proverbs 26:27 says, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. What great language is that? In other words, a man reaps what he sows, right? We might call it poetic justice, but what it means here in Psalm 120 is that God's judgment is appropriate to the offense and perfectly just. So God's judgment is appropriate to the offense and perfectly just. It is also certain and severe. Psalm 120 says that it gives us this picture: a warrior's sharp arrows and the burning coals of a broom tree, or of the broom tree. And so the arrows here, they speak of the suddenness of God's judgment coming upon the wicked. And the fact that it is a warrior's sharp arrow speaks of the skill and the accuracy of the one who draws the bow. And so you can be certain that this judgment will not miss. We read a similar word of judgment in Psalm 64, where it says in verse 2, the throng of evildoers who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear. In verse 7, but God shoots his arrow at them. They are wounded suddenly. They are brought to ruin, and their own tongues turned against them. And so they reap what they sow. They are evildoers. They are liars. They are shooting bitter words at people. But God shoots them back at them. We are told that the coals in Psalm 120 are the coals of the broom tree. Now the broom tree is a large tree. It's about 12 feet in height. And it was known for being exceptionally hard wood. And it would produce extremely hot charcoal that would stay hot for a long time. It would produce heat for a long time. And so if the arrows in Psalm 120 speak of the suddenness of God's judgment, the coals speak of the duration of God's judgment. The coals, they burn slowly and point to a judgment that lasts for a long time. When God's judgment comes, it will come suddenly, but it will not end quickly. We read in Psalm 140, As for the head of those who surround me, let the mischief of their lips overwhelm them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into fire, into miry pits, no more to rise. Hell is forever. It is eternal punishment. And for those who die outside of Christ, will face God's severe judgment for sin for eternity. And these verses in Psalm 120 are both a warning to the wicked and a reassurance to the righteous that God is just and He will punish every sin. Now, when we think on how things happen to us when we are sinned against, we are usually tempted to respond in a sinful way, aren't we? We give our wife or husband the silent treatment when they make us mad, when they sin against us. We mock the mocker. We bully the bully. Anything is fair game. They've already sinned to us, so we are just to sin against them. It's okay to sin against a boss who is a jerk. Anything is deserved toward that family member who hurts you. But the psalmist here is pointing out that when you are attacked by others, when you are sinned against by others, you do not need to attack back. That's what we read in Romans 12, verse 19. It says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." So do not return evil for evil. When people attack you, love them. Forgive them. Pray for those who persecute you. Take it to the cross of Jesus and leave it up to God to handle. And so we have God's judgment is appropriate and just. God's judgment is certain and severe. And so that's the second application that we see in this psalm. That to know that God judges and punishes the wicked. So call on the Lord in times of trouble. Know that He judges the wicked and punishes the wicked. And then finally, know that you are not to belong of this world. Look at verses 5 through 7 where the psalmist writes, "Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long dwelling among those who hate peace." You can stop the recording now, by the way. "I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." So there's a number of things that we can learn from here about believers in Christ. Hopefully I can get them out. Well, first of all, the Christian is uncomfortable living in this world. As a Christian, you are called to be different from the world. The world has no place for God or for Christ, and therefore a follower of Christ, as a follower of Christ, you are going to feel out of place. You are going to feel left out in this world. Notice he sojourns in Meshech, which is the far north, it's modern-day Turkey, and in Kedar, which is the southern border. It's in the Arabian Desert. And so there's no literal way that he can be far north and far south in Egypt at the same time. And so what the psalmist is actually saying here is he is saying that I am dwelling among strange people, and it does not feel like home. He is surrounded by people who do not care about God or God's ways. They are evil people. They are pagan people. And this causes him distress. It causes him discomfort, where he cries out, "Woe to me, that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar." It's the same way for Christians as we live in this world. It's uncomfortable to us. We don't always feel at home here. We don't fit. People have different morals, different outlooks on life, different world views. We are pilgrims on a journey, strangers in a strange land. As the old hymn puts it, it says, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel a home in this world anymore." Jesus said in John 15, verse 19, "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." And even though we may not feel comfortable living in this world, this is exactly the place where God has chosen us to be. We are to live out our Christian faith and in obedience to Him and to be witnesses to others in this world. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Once again, Jesus prayed in John 17, verses 14 through 16, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Did the world love Jesus? No, because he was different. He was a stranger. "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." The Christian is not only uncomfortable living in this world, but the Christian also gets tired of living in this world. Verse 5 of Psalm 120 says, "Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I dwelt..." "Have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace." I got it. We often see the phrase throughout the Psalms that says, "How long? How long, O Lord?" Right? But in this Psalm, this is the only time we see the phrase, "Too long." He is crying out to the Lord, saying, "It's been too long." He's tired of it all. "No more," he says. He is ready to begin his journey to go and to meet God. His soul thirsts for the living God. The world is not our home. We may be living on this earth, but our citizenship is in heaven. Dorothy was right. There is no place like home. One commentator writes, "I live in the midst of hoodlums and wild savages. This world is not my home, and I want out." You ever feel like that? As Christians, we are homesick for heaven. We long to be with Christ. And if you are not homesick for heaven, I need you to think about that. Consider whether or not heaven is truly your home. Or do you fit in really well with the rest of the world? Can you relate to these verses in Psalm 120? Have you been too long apart from God? If so, that's what the Psalms of Ascent are all about. They begin with dissatisfaction and discontent. We get tired of this world and living in the ways of the world. And so we begin our journey of being drawn closer to God and to His ways. The Christian is uncomfortable living in this world. The Christian is tired, gets tired of living in this world. And then finally, the Christian longs for peace in the midst of a hostile world. Look at Psalm 120, verses 6 through 7. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. The world is a hostile place. It is hostile to believers. It's full of people who are hostile to one another. The history of the world can be told with its wars and its long, sad history of fighting and conflict. In the midst of a hostile world, the Christian longs for peace. Peace here is not just merely absence of conflict, but it is a presence of health, a presence of wholeness. The psalmist is a person of peace, longing for peace, living among those who hate peace. Do you long for peace in the midst of this hostile world? The Bible urges you as a Christian to pursue peace in every aspect of your life. Listen to just some of what Jesus said and the rest of Scripture says. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Paul says, Romans 12:18 tells you, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." Do you long for true peace in your life? It can only be found in Christ. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." And so, yes, in this world you will have trouble. But remember, Psalm 120 teaches that you call out to the Lord in trouble. This world is a hostile place full of lies and war. But Christ brings truth and peace. And Jesus says in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Psalm 120 is the psalm that starts us on our journey in the Psalms of Ascent. And we have learned three important applications from it this morning. Call on the Lord in times of trouble. Know that God will punish the wicked. And know that you do not belong to this world. And so what does Psalm 120 mean? It means that as followers of Christ, we are in the world, but not of the world. The world is opposed to God's ways, opposed to Christ. The world is opposed to God's truth, and it is opposed to God's people. The world hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their evil deeds will be exposed. God will judge the wicked, but save His people. What does Psalm 120 mean? It means that we are pilgrims on a journey. God has changed our hearts in Christ. So we no longer desire the things of the world, but we desire first and foremost to be with God. We long to meet Him face to face. And so this journey, it begins with our conversion, our coming to Christ, and it ends with heaven. And in between that time, we are to follow Him, to be obedient to Him every day and every week of our lives. So God says to us, I know that you live in a strange land with some strange people. I know that it doesn't feel quite right, but keep on your pilgrimage. And I have a home waiting for you if you'll just keep on. It's also a journey that begins and ends with prayer. And so whatever you do, whenever you're in trouble of any kind, God is there for you. This is good news. God is there for you to call out to Him. So talk to Him. Cry out to Him. In your distress, call to the Lord, and He will answer you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in our distress, we will call to You. And we know that You answer us. You have given us many joys in this life, and we are so grateful. There are so many ways in which the world is a place of great blessing. And yet we all know, even on the greatest of moments, there's something we know is missing. We're not there yet. And so as we pursue this pilgrimage, Lord, in the name of Jesus who went before us to prepare a place for us, help us to get there and to be patient as we wait. And it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we respond to God's Word?